Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, the true story of a lost menorah. Not just any menorah, but one that dates back to 1539. What are the chances of the menorah being found, especially when the location is the city dump? Stay tuned to another Stories from the Heart to find out how God intervened on the founding of the lost menorah. Our Hanukkah Miracle. Shortly before Thanksgiving last year, with Hanukkah approaching, Ellen decided to take our antique menorah to school to show her class and to talk to the children about Hanukkah. This menorah was not some ordinary artifact. It was unique, priceless, and irreplaceable. It had been handcrafted of silver in Poland in 1539, and was believed to have been owned originally by a Jewish physician who had saved the life of the son of a German prince. The prince gave it as a gift to the doctor. More than two centuries later, this same menorah was said to have belonged to a rabbi who was a counselor to Napoleon. Eventually, it was passed to our family. What made it more unusual and significant was that, unlike most menorahs used today, which are lighted by electricity or burn candles, it burned oil, like the menorahs of antiquity. Legend has it that when the Israelites regained their desecrated temple in Jerusalem from the Syrians in 165 BC, they found one small cruse of oil that had not been defiled. In celebration, they poured the oil into a ceremonial menorah and lit it. Though no one expected it to burn very long with that tiny amount of oil, it burned for a week and a day. That was the miracle of Hanukkah, which to this day is still celebrated by Jews the world over. During each of the 8 nights of Hanukkah, Jews light one of the 8 lights or candles in their menorahs, commemorating that triumph of God's people over their enemies. When school is over that day, Ellen wrapped the menorah in newspapers to protect it and carried it home in a brown bag. She put the bag in a corner of our study. Normally, we store the menorah in a bank vault, but Ellen put it in the study because we'd be using it soon. A week later, just before Hanukkah, Ellen was getting ready to polish the menorah. When she went to the study to get it, the bag was gone. Ellen came to me in tears. "Let's not panic," I said. "We'll find it." Our children, Joseph and Karen, helped us look. We covered every room in the house. No luck. I phoned Wilshire Boulevard Temple. They hadn't seen it. I phoned friends. They hadn't seen it. Then I thought of Rosa, our cleaning lady who comes once a week. I grabbed the telephone. "Rosa," I said, tried to keep cool, "did you happen to see a bag of newspapers in the study the last time you were here?" Yes, Rosa had seen the bag on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Thinking it was trash, she had thrown it out. I felt my shoulders slump. Our trash is picked up on Fridays. That was 2 days ago. "It's not your fault," I consoled Rosa, who sounded close to tears herself. After all, the menorah weighed less than half a pound. It was only about 6 inches long and 5 inches tall. How could anyone know it was there? Disjointed thoughts and memories were sailing through my mind. I recalled when I was a child in New York City how that menorah had meant such a happy time. It wasn't just that this symbol of Hanukkah represented 8 days of gifts. There was more. Whenever the menorah was brought out at home, my parents would always explain that against mighty odds, the Jewish people had never given up. Inspired by an unconquerable faith in God, they had endured. Could I be that strong? My faith in God was solid, I felt, but never had it really been tested. There had never been a real crisis in my life, not till now anyway. Finding that menorah would, in a sense, be a challenge to my trust in God's ability to save and protect. Simply put, I had to find that menorah, and I believed somehow God would help me if I did my part. Sometime around 3 a.m., I fell asleep. By 6, I woke up and was on the telephone. The first call I made was to the West Los Angeles Sanitation Department. "Look, pal," the man who answered told me, "we get this problem all the time. It's hopeless. This city has 700 garbage trucks. Every day, 5,000 tons of trash are dumped at the landfill, and the landfill is 250 acres square. You ain't got a chance." When I told him how big the menorah was, he practically laughed. "Hey, pal, people mistakenly throw away things 5 times that size, and we can't even find them when they're still on the truck." He did make it sound hopeless, but I wasn't going to give up. Maybe if I could find somebody who understood the significance of what I was looking for. "Is there a Mrs. Schwartz there?" I asked. "No." "How about Cohen?" "Nope." "Goldstein?" "Nope." I was beginning to run out of Jewish names when I tried Ackerman. "Yeah, we have a Mrs. Ackerman." "Great, let me talk to her, please." When Mrs. Ackerman came on, I explained I had lost a very old silver candelabrum. "You probably won't find it," she replied, "but we're going to give it a try." And she promised to call right back. In a few minutes, she did. "Because of the Thanksgiving holiday," Mrs. Ackerman said, "trash from my street had not been picked up until Saturday. Since city trucks don't collect on Sunday, only one layer of landfill rubble would be covering my garbage." "Before, your odds were 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, help to reduce the odds. I asked, Mrs. Ackerman, are you Jewish? She said she was. Well, it was a menorah I lost. Oh my goodness, came her reply. We've really got to help you. A few minutes later, my telephone rang once more. It was Edward O'Neill, supervisor of the West Los Angeles Refuge Division. Don't know what church you go to, Goldberg, he said, but you ought to light a candle. The truck that picked up your garbage hasn't dumped it yet. From deep inside me, a cry of triumph burst forth. Now, before you get too excited, O'Neill cautioned, you better know that that truck, number 848, is on its way to the landfill right now. Without saying another word, I hung up. The Canyon landfill was 9 miles away from my house. Early Monday morning traffic in the area would be horrendous. Please, Lord, I said, pulling on a pair of jeans. Incredibly, I did not hit a single red light on the way. In fact, I made it to the landfill in less than 10 minutes, flying past the gate as the guard hollered. As I entered the sprawling dump, I spotted in the distance, chugging to the top of the crater-like dumping site, a white and black garbage truck, number 848, painted on its side. Within moments, that truck would dump its contents, which would then be bulldozed over the edge of the cavity, to be buried under a mountain of dirt and rock. Stepping down hard on the gas pedal, I climbed the hill, honking frantically. Garbage truck number 848 stopped. Hopping out of my car, I asked the two surprised men inside the cab if they had picked up on Butterfield Road that Saturday. No, they hadn't. The answer took the wind out of me. Suddenly, I felt weak. I had given it my best effort and had come up empty. But we weren't using this truck on Saturday, one of the men said. Someone else was. My spirits soared again. I told them my problem. And again, I was told how slim my chances were. There's 8 tons of garbage in this truck, 848's driver said. It'll be like a needle in a haystack, only worse. Nevertheless, I persuaded him to dump the load in an open space where I could get at it. When he did, I guessed. The knee-deep pile covered an area about the size of a two-bedroom house. Wildly, I began to sift through coffee grounds, eggshells, half-eaten TV dinners, still not sure that this was the refuse from my road. The temperature was in the high 70s. After about 10 minutes of searching, I was soaked to the skin. Earth movers edged closer as they ripped up plastic garbage bags. If I only had a shovel, I thought. Just last week, a man working for me had thrown my old shovel in the garbage by mistake. Turning to the men at 848, I asked if they had one in their truck. They shook their heads. "Isn't that a shovel over there?" one said, pointing to an object about 20 yards from me. Looking up, I saw a brown handle sticking into the air. As I slogged toward it, I caught my breath. It was my old shovel. "That's my shovel," I shouted crazily. The landfill workers nearly stopped and stared. I felt that was my sign from God. Dig here. New energy surged into my arms and legs, and oblivious to the din and dirt and the odor, I began to patiently tear through the garbage bags near the shovel. 2 hours, and I don't know how many plastic bags later, I fished out the menorah, still wrapped in newspaper. It was scratched in back, its little oil bearing cups twisted, but otherwise it was okay. Tears hung from the corners of my eyes as I drew the menorah to my chest. I was sure that no treasure ever lost and then found again had ever in history brought such joy. My sense of relief and gratitude was absolutely overwhelming. Holding the menorah aloft, I began to pray. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." 2 days later, as Alan and I set the ancient menorah in our living room window to begin the observance of Hanukkah, I couldn't help thinking of all the strange events that had restored it to me. Finding Mrs. Ackerman to help was a wonder in itself. And the garbage truck that didn't dump for 2 days. And the green traffic lights on the way to the landfill. And the broken shovel standing there like a beacon, as if God himself had told me where to dig, so that the menorah finally could be found. God's hand in the whole experience now seemed very clear. Never before had I felt so close to him. As he had so many times throughout the centuries, God had once more demonstrated, and I was awed to think this time, he had done it for me. How worthy of our trust he is. To my family and me, it was nothing less than a miracle. It was our new miracle of Hanukkah. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's true story, our Hanukkah miracle, was written by Michael Goldberg and published in Guidepost Magazine. For a copy of this true story, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.